Please be seated. In today's gospel, Jesus is having a problem that I would give anything to have. I'd give anything if when I preach on a Sunday morning, the crowds would be so great that I'd have to go out and sit on a boat to avoid being overtaken by the growing congregation on the shore. But alas, this is summertime at the beach, and I need not worry about that. But in today's gospel lesson, I'm afraid that Jesus could have used my advice, or at least some seminary instruction on how to preach a good sermon. Because Jesus, in today's gospel, he has them where he wants them, but he preaches a sermon that nobody understands. The parable of the sower. It's one of those stories that you and I have heard since our earliest times in Sunday school. And while Jesus does tell his disciples what the story means for them, I can't help but wonder the understanding that those crowding his boat walked away with. I imagine the crowd's understanding was as different as the crowd itself. So this morning I want you to put yourself in that crowd. Listen and hear this story. What does it mean for you? And there's not a right or wrong answer. You're one of the ones who see but don't perceive, hear but don't always listen and understand. You don't get to go behind the scenes with the in crowd getting the full debriefing, so your take is as good as anyone else's. You're in the crowd. You hear the story. What do you take away? As I began to try to put together a sermon for this week, I tried to put myself in that crowd and tried to ignore the part where Jesus interprets the parable for his disciples. And here's what I came up with. God seems to be a pretty lousy farmer. To take preciously cleaned and stored seed and sow it so recklessly that it falls on a path on rocky land and among thorns is pretty wasteful and downright silly. Any sower worth his salt knows there's plowing and irrigating, and like one of the kids said, fertilizing to be done. But what I'm hearing as I'm standing in that crowd is that God knows it's foolish to spread seed in such a manner, but he does it anyway. In fact, God spreads the seed with a reckless abandon. He throws seed at us, at those of us who over and over again prove we have hard hearts and stiff necks and dim minds. What I'm hearing, if I'm standing in that crowd, is that God is downright foolish in his love for you and me. And he pours out that love relentlessly and in abundance. And in the shame, blame culture of Jesus' time, such gracious sowing is downright scandalous. And I leave that boat, I leave that shore with some hope. Hope that there might be a different way. Hope that there might be a different possibility. But the truth is, we weren't in the crowd that day. And we do have the rest of the story. And while it may be fun to picture ourselves in the crowd, knowing the rest of the story calls us to a different place. You see, parables go beyond just being nice little stories. Parables are a method of teaching with deep Jewish roots, and they have many, many facets, and they're filled with mystery, and they're open to a variety of interpretations. They're intended to speak to each of us with all of our diversity and all of our differing circumstances. And while it might be a nice exercise to picture ourselves as members of that crowd or as disciples who are on the inside, the truth is we are here today, this day. And for me, the meaning of the parable in our case is awfully easy to decipher, because this morning we baptized Diego into the household of faith. And when we stand in just a minute and we promise to proclaim the good news by word and example, in a very real way, we're promising this family that we'll be good sowers. Knowing that with without what we sow, there can never be a harvest. It's our promise to sow seeds of love with reckless abandon and leave the rest up to God. And when in our baptismal vows we say we'll seek and serve Christ in all persons and love our neighbors as ourselves, we promise to be good seed, realizing that the small seeds that we plant in this place will make a difference in Diego's life and in our own. Seeds are precious. They're a precious commodity, and ours are to be seeds of grace and mercy, not worried about where the seeds might land, but only concerned with as much abundance as possible. And when we stand and say that we're going to strive for justice and peace and respect the dignity of every human being, we promise to be good soil, fertile soil, by which strong roots can grow and thrive, and where each of us, especially Diego, can blossom as members of God's kingdom. Good soil that produces more seed for the sower to throw around once again. Now, it's hard to really fathom the fact that Jesus entrusted 12 people with the future of God's kingdom, 12 people who launched a campaign that changed the world. Some found their message offensive, and others found their message to be incredibly liberating and was heard as good news about how God cares for the world and for everyone in it. And then Jesus entrusted us. He entrusted us not to be the Lord of the harvest, but to be really diligent parts of the field. And whether we find ourselves as sowers or seed or soil, that is a call to do some pretty crazy things, like loving your enemies, praying for those who hate you, love the unlovable, embrace the unembraceable, and bless those who could care less about our little garden. But make no mistake about it. All of us are sowers, seed, or soil every single day of our lives, whether we know it or not. And folks are paying attention, even when, and often especially when, we least expect it. And when we're careful, and we tend these blessed gardens of ours with care, the fruit produced can not only change our world, but can change the world around us, because that fruit is the way the world sees Christ. And the words of our baptismal covenant become more than just good intentions. They become a way of life for us, for Diego, as we all become who God yearns for us to be. God love you. Amen. Don't worry, we'll wait for her.
Can't have a baptism without mom. And they're coming in force. Now, if the parents and the family would stay.